Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James, we've got about 20 minutes to spend together tonight, so it's going to be short and sweet. If you've got something to say, this would be the time to dial 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Before I get to it, the story of the night, as far as I'm concerned, is the parents of the missing college student. Now, let me back up. This is only 11 days ago, but you may remember the story. A junior in college who had gone to the Dominican Republic with a group of friends, I guess spring break, yes, spring break trip, vanished in the Dominican Republic, and she vanished 11 days ago. Now, we don't know much. There are some that said, well, it was an early morning swim. Her clothes were found on the beach. She went into the water at 4:15. There was a big wave. Maybe she drowned. Then there was a person of interest that people are looking at as well, and a few other possibilities. So 11 days later, you wouldn't expect that we necessarily had this solved. But what you really wouldn't expect is, in the midst of all this, 11 days after this girl disappears, her parents ask police to declare her dead. What? Yeah, I just don't get it. A 20-year-old who was last seen going on an early morning beach walk while on a Dominican Republic trip with friends. So here it is. This happens in March. March is not only is still underway. Yes, we got a few more days left. Most parents would be saying, please don't close that. Please look for my daughter. Please give us some answers. I have no idea what is behind the parents' rationale. She was going to the University of Pittsburgh, but she was in Loudoun County, Virginia. That's where her parents lived and where she was a resident. And so you had Loudoun County officials and you have Pittsburgh officials. Of course, you had the Dominican Republic officials all taking a look at it. And the search was continuing, and nobody had drawn a conclusion. Yet the Dominican Republic National Police acknowledged that they got a letter requesting a declaration of death. What does that mean? The letter said they understood certain legal procedures must be followed for their request, but they are prepared to comply with any necessary formalities or documentation. Why? Her parents in the letter said, there's no suspicion of foul play, and initiating this process will allow our family to begin the grieving process. No, I would think, given this, that your family would still want a little more information, don't you think? All right, so that was my rant for the moment. I was like, of all the things I've ever read, that might take the cake. All right, so Eric in Champaign has some requests, and maybe I'll play one of them tonight, so let me hear them, Eric.
Okay. I do have a couple requests, but I wanted to talk to you first, as quick as I can, about the cruising series. I talked to you before about it a few years ago.
Yep.
And was it one fact first is, didn't you tell me that as old as that goes back, because it goes all the way back to 1955, that when it came out in 1980 was like a redo?
It didn't come out in 1980. It came out in 1970.
Yeah, right. They're right. You're right.
The first time. And yes, they were recreations. But the first time, they were very well done, and they had the music rights.
Absolutely.
And this was Ron Jacobs' project with Tom Rounds, and that was when it was on Increase Records. Well, afterwards, someone bought the rights, but when they re-released them and put them out on CDs, they didn't have the music clearance, so they substituted other takes.
Oh, no. But you're telling me in 1970, I got to hear right. Yeah. In 1970, it was actually the original.
It was.
And they sounded so good.
No, no,
yeah.
It was not air checks. It was recreation, but it was the original records. This was not air checks. They sat these people down in a studio, and like I've mentioned before, they had to get BMR high on drugs to be able to do it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they put him on amphetamines. Because, you know, when he was on, when he was doing nights at WMCA in New York, that was a lot different than when he came back to Los Angeles on KLOS and was this laid-back AOR guy. They said, we don't want this laid-back stuff. You got to be what you were on WMCA. Here, take these.
Absolutely. And I just want to real briefly go through these because I fell in love with these back in 1970. Right. I mean, I'm 63 now. But I mean, and I want to know how many of these you remember because I sure
I remember. I remember all of them because in some cases I had to find the jocks for Ron.
Absolutely. So I'll go real quick here. 1955 was Jumpin' Joe Oxford. 55, the very first one. Yeah, it was Oxford. 1956 was Robin Seymour.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Okay. 1957 was Joe Niagara.
Yeah. Now, by the way, you're not mentioning where any of these people were at the time. Like George Oxford was a KSAN. And
there you go.
Robin Seymour was in Detroit. I think he might have been a KMH at the time. Okay, and then
Joe Niagara at Wibbage. Was it Niagara Falls?
Joe Niagara at Wibbage in Philadelphia.
Okay, and I know, okay, now 58 would have been, and his son, by the way, this guy's son is still in broadcasting KTRS St. Louis, but his dad was Jack Carney at WIL in St. Louis, right?
Right, and WIL was a wonderful Balaban station. Jack Carney had also been in San Francisco, so he was fairly easy to find. But yeah, he was at IL working for Balaban in 58 around the time that KXOK kind of trounced them. But yes, okay, so go on.
Exactly. I know some things before my time, actually. Okay, 59 would have been Hunter Hancock?
Yes, that's KGFJ, Hunt with Hunter. So that's KGFJ Los Angeles.
Okay, 1960, and he recently died, and he was all over the place. But 1960 would have been Dick Biondi, that was actually in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, it was like on his days at WKBW, of course, because it was 1960. The years were true. In
absolutely.
1960, he was on the air in Buffalo, so that was what they had to use.
And, you know, so many of these were radio legend. That's why I've really been waiting to talk briefly about this. And 69 was Arnie Ginsberg?
Arnie Woo Woo Ginsberg, yeah. That's
61,
Yeah, 61.
Well, yeah, Arnie Woo Woo Ginsberg.
That's WMEX in Boston, 1510. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, here's one, and this is ironic. There actually is more than one Weird Beard, but 1962 was the Texas station with Russ Weird Beard Knight.
It's the same Russ Weird Beard Knight who was on the air in San Francisco. It's just in 62. That's where he was.
Oh, was it Texas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, so Russ Weirdbeard Knight had been at a number of radio stations. So, sure. And, that had Soldier Boy and Don Gardner and Dee Ford, Need Your Love.
Absolutely.
I remember this all too well. All right.
And I know these by heart. I'm almost, okay, so 60, and he really changed his style, and I can believe he needed to be on uppers, because 1963 was New York B. Mitchell Reed.
Right.
And later he played FM. Yeah.
Well, right. And of course, before he went to New York, he was a top 40 jock in Los Angeles on KFWB. Then he went to MCA and was great at night. In 63, he left. That's how Gary Stevens got to WMCA.
And he... when he was on air live in 63, my God, he talked fast.
Well, that's right. Okay. And so, they had to put him on dope. So, yeah.
Now, 64, I know these guys are so much, 64, we go to Johnny Holiday, who I know is still alive, and he's currently the voice of the baseball team. He's currently the voice of a major league
Johnny's
Maryland,
great.
That's the one.
He's a Miami boy, graduated from North Miami High in 1955.
Yeah, and of course, he went to sports radio.
I know.
Johnny Holiday went to sports radio, but he was 1964, and now he's still the voice of the Maryland Terrapins.
By the way,
currently, he's still
Johnny Holiday had the best exit line in radio history, the absolute best.
No.
Johnny Holiday was on WINS right when they were switching format to news. And he said, we'll be back right after the news. And so
that was it.
Yeah, it was. It was great. That was WINS. Yes, we'll be back right after the news. So,
okay. I think when he in '64 he was at a station in Ohio, wasn't he? Ohio, I believe.
God, I'd have to.
And I can't think of the call letters, but I know it was Ohio. Okay, some guys are also okay. '65 was Robert W. Morgan.
Right, I know. Yes,
which was, he.
And Johnny Holiday, by the way, I mentioned he graduated from North Miami High. If anybody has the yearbook, he was Johnny Bobbitt. That was his actual name.
And wow.
And yeah, okay. he started out in Perry, Georgia, and then he went to FEC in Miami for a moment there, and then he went to Rochester, and he was in Cleveland, and he worked at INS. You know, he was a friend of Murray's, and then he went to KYA. And Gavin Report in 65 named him the number one disc jockey in America. And so
I'm not surprised.
He hosted the Candlestick Park Beatles thing, and then he went to D.C. and was at WWDC and MAL and all that. So, yeah, absolutely. And he used to do the PA announcing gig for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, see, he's still in it. He's of the Maryland, because I follow the NCAA. They just, the college, March Madness, they call it. Well, Johnny Holiday now is the voice of the Maryland Terrapins, the college team.
Someone ghostwrote it, but he wrote an autobiography about 20 years ago, if you wanted to read it, from rock to jock. So you can.
Okay.
And then he later wrote one about his sports stuff called Hoop Tales. But, yeah, from rock to jock, if you like reading that stuff.
Okay, and then the next year, okay, like I said, 65 was Robert W.
Right.
Morgan, who was what, in L.A.? Or
yeah, KHJ. No, he's a KHJ.
Yeah, KHJ. And I remember, I don't know if it was you that told me the story one time, because I listened to you for years, about he kind of had a temper and he kicked somebody out of his car, but that's neither here nor there.
That was me, but he did many other things. So, yes. Exiting the car was minor. The guy he held down the elevator shaft was one of my favorites. But, Robert.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was great. All fond memories because I lived, obviously. So here I am.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I'm sure you're going to know this guy then. 66, and I believe this was a Seattle. This was anyway. Patrick O'Day in 66.
Right. Yeah, Pat O'Day. I'm not a Pat O'Day fan, unfortunately. I mean, he's a nice enough guy, I guess. I laughed when he used to do the commercials for Schick Schadl because he did have a drinking problem. But many, many years before that, Pat O'Day owned the Pacific Northwest because the tri-state area all racked off of KGR's list. So if it was Idaho or if it was Oregon or if it was Washington, Pat O'Day was the man. Now, this would be fine, except that Pat, even though he denied it till his dying day, Pat is an avowed racist musically. This guy...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, God. Now, the interesting thing, like a lot of people like that, he would play something frenetic like a James Brown, but a ballad? He would have gone to his grave before he was going to play Mary Wells. So the problem was that it was a tremendously, tremendously white area, all because of Pat O'Day. Now, of course, he gave us a lot of people because he also had all the dances. So, you know.
Didn't he own the station? He went on to own that station.
Well, that station, but he later was in ownership. Yeah, but the fact that he controlled all the dances when he was on KJR, you know, he found the kids outside of Boise who became Paul River and the Raiders and Merrily Rush and the Kingsmen.
Okay.
And all these people would not have been found if they weren't appearing at the Pat O'Day dances. And as far as breaking records, I bring this up because it would be an embarrassment if it was me. Pat O'Day broke Tiny Bubbles. The Don Ho record.
Don Ho?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, later, Don, I know I got to go real far. I know it's so easy. We could talk all night and I'm catching you late. So, in other words, so 67, then I believe we go to Georgia with Dr. Don Rose.
Right.
That's what he called it.
Right,
yeah.
During his Quixie days.
That was 67. That was Dr. Don Rose. And I'm not sure, was there ever a DJ called Chris Eric Stevens?
Oh, of course. As you say that, anybody listening to Chicago radio is laughing because, of course, he was on LS, among other things. Of course there are.
I think he might have been cruising 68, too.
I thought it was Johnny Dark, but you see, 67 was really it for that first run, and then they added some more.
And then, of course, there was a Johnny Rabbit with the St. Louis station.
Right, KXOK. And there were two Johnny Rabbits. Ron Ells likes to think that he's the most important Johnny Rabbit, but the reality is the one who really was the big hit was Don Pietro Monaco. But anyway, I'm pretty sure 68 was Johnny Dark at CAO.
Okay.
And that would be, and that would be it.
Go,
that's it.
And you know, it's funny, you said the original Cruisin' series came out in 70, and I think one of the very last ones would have been, and he was playing oldies in 70, Porky Chadwick.
Oh, I wish they had done the Pork with the Torque, but no, Ron Jacobs didn't do Porky. All right, well, here's the horrible part. It's fun, but I'm running out of time. And in fact, I got a full board of calls.
Can I give you a request real quick?
Well, very quick. Very quick.
Okay, now, don't judge the book by its cover, but at least listen to it. Asleep at the Wheel, Nothing Takes the Place of You.
Okay.
It's a beautiful song.
What? Keep going.
That one.
Yeah.
And then Janice Ian at 17.
Not going to happen. Ian. Next.
Okay, just remember the Elite Sleep of the Wheel. BJ Thomas, another somebody.
Probably not
going
to happen. All right, I'll talk to you later. I've heard enough.
All right,
thanks.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
It's been very
all right,
fun,
so we'll see if I can get to everybody. I don't know if I will because I can't open the time store, so I'll shut up right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we'll forgo the bumpers and we'll talk. With hopefully, am I going to be able to do this? Well, I'll just shut up and say Chris in Greenwood was at the film festival. His film was in it. So, Chris, did you win?
No, I didn't win. I was in like fourth place.
Okay. Out of how many films?
I did the Black Hat Slinger Slasher.
Yeah. How many?
The one. That
how won, many? How many was, films were in your category?
In my category, I just had to do one. And the tagline was, guys, I found the treasure.
Yeah. No, but I mean, in terms of other people who entered, in addition to you, how many films were entered in your category?
Probably like 12 or 13.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did well.
Yes.
And I'm going to post the thing.
Well, congratulations.
On YouTube.
I'm delighted.
And also, one more thing.
Yes.
There's one radio station in Lawrence, South Carolina, going off the air Monday, and that's WLP.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, because they're trying to find a buyer, and they're losing money. And,
yeah.
It's for them to go, because I'll try my best to be on there one last time.
Yeah, WLBG. Yes, yes, absolutely. They were on the air for 77 years.
Yeah, now it has to come to an end because of, social media is killing it.
Well, so many things. But I guess the current owner's had it since 82. So he's had, he wasn't there during the heydays, but he certainly had it a good 40-something years. So, yes, Radio 860, Real Radio 860.
Mm-hmm, and 94.104.1.
Well, there's the problem.
And 60, you can pick it up on the day, but like at night, it fades out and the Canadian station comes.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've pretty much ended the night. We're going fast tonight, but congratulations on number four. It seems like you were better than half the pack, and that's great, and I can't wait to hear about next year's entry.
WLBG all the way.
All right.
If I could say, I would do it.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, so Real Radio, WLBG 860, rest in peace. Yeah, you hate to see those AMs go down. All right, so with that in mind, Laura and Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, Raleigh, I've got too much time to talk, so I'm going to talk to you about this another day. I want to give somebody else some time.
Well, let me ask you, give me the headline of what we're going to talk about.
Okay, well, I was going to tell you about this really cool TV show called Relatively Speaking, a game show where the celebrities guess the famous relatives.
Uh-huh.
And there's been people, Buddy Holly, who was talked about, Connie Stevens. I saw whole bunch of different people.
Right. We can talk about it. The show was on the air less than a year, and it was the late 80s. So, yes
it was.
Yes, very, very well aware of it, but it was a very short run. All right. Good deal.
Yes.
We'll talk about it soon. Thanks. Right. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. All right. So, in the waning moments, I guess this is kind of hit and get. Isaac on the south side, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Is this like the shortest show you've ever done?
No. Sometimes it's 10 minutes. I mean, sports
My
is sports,
goodness.
And
okay,
I'm,
that's true.
I'm happy
All right, my
to
question,
do it.
My question is about the singer Johnny Rivers.
What about him?
I happened to stumble upon an Ed Sullivan show that he was on, mm-hmm. and they were saying that he should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I looked him up. They said that he was Blue-Eyed Soul. Mm-hmm. I heard a couple of other songs. And he, to me, it sounded like he had like a hooker in his voice. Like he sounded country to me. So I'm questioning, what was he? What was his deal?
Well,
and I also want to know about his covers. I understand that he, you know, did some covers of, I guess some black songs or whatever. What, when they did covers of songs, was there, ill intentions,
no.
like on purpose,
no.
or were they just covering a song?
No. And it also is usually the case in, with Johnny Rivers that he wasn't covering it while the soul version was a hit. It was later, so that's a whole different thing too. But no, it's not. There's a lot to say about Johnny, and we have over the years. But I'd be happy to talk about him. He also had a record label which had some wonderful stuff on it. So yeah, he clearly did love R&B. I can't claim he could sing it, but he absolutely loved it. And sure, he was from New York originally, Johnny Ramostella. But
really,
yeah. But he basically grew up in Baton Rouge. Went to high school in Baton Rouge. So it was
that explains that hooker.
Right, and his I'm out of time. I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye.
Monday. I'll talk
all right.
to you Monday. Bye.
I say that because we have Bob, and he gives me no leeway. So but we thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Apologies to those I didn't get to. We'll do it next week. I think full shows all next week. We'll see. That's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.